And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, our first bout of new programming for the season, for the fall season, or for the fall academic year. Last week, of course, was Welcome Week, and we broadcast live from the Student Center, talked with a student organization that's planning events on campus, and then we played some of our favorites from the summer. But we're starting up with our new programming this week. We're glad to have with us today Phil Taylor from the Taylor Report, international war crimes investigator and radio host in Toronto, covering a wide range of issues, and a favorite guest on our program, always great on current events. And I'm really glad to have you with us today, Phil, because, I mean, I've heard so much crazy stuff in the media about Cuba this week, it's hard to know where to turn, but I know you've been following the issue a little bit, so thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you.
It's good because I know this is your subject of interest. You've been following news concerning Cuba and out of Cuba. You've been looking at Castro statements in the past the various newspapers. It's some interesting stuff you've brought to us before. And now, I just turned on my computer one morning, and every blog and news or quasi-news site or news aggregator site, whether it be Huffington Post or Salon or a variety of other blogs or magazines, including BBC News and reputable news organizations, had carried quotes saying that Fidel Castro had sort of renounced socialism, that he didn't believe the Cuban model worked anymore, that the Soviet system... So that's one of the things he allegedly said, and he also allegedly said some things about Iran. And this was all the work of one interview, wasn't it?
Yes, it was apparently... the problem with the so-called interview is that Jeffrey Goldberg, who writes for the Atlantic Monthly, was invited to Cuba because Fidel Castro had been impressed with all, I suppose, the details. I don't know what he thought of the argumentation, but in an article in the Atlantic Monthly by Goldberg, which speculated on Iran's nuclear potential, whether peaceful or towards armament, and the potential war that might ensue if Israel and or the United States were to decide to prevent any further developments of in the nuclear field by Iran. So Fidel had invited him to talk, I guess, and see if they could exchange ideas. And he spent at least a day, it might have been a day and a half, 2 days, sort of in the company of Fidel. Fidel likes, historically, has always liked to visit with people when he's focused on a subject. And some of this gets turned into what are called interviews, but actually they tend to be just long discussions. And, of course, this is fraught with difficulties and political hazards because people will... Fidel has commented on this and said, I did say some of the things Goldberg quotes me as saying, but he said... Unfortunately, it hasn't been explained in such a way that my meaning, as I intended, was conveyed. Fidel is very good at this. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that struck me, too, because one of the things that most news organizations seem to do, especially the American ones, was just take Goldberg's quotes or quotes about Castro and just say, and there you have it, you know, he doesn't like socialism. Or they don't analyze the quotes, they don't go into detail or any depth, they don't investigate them or the context.
No. And you've picked the perfect subject. I mean, everyone, we have to say, look, we're free now. We don't really have to wait for the Toronto Star or the Globe or the National Post, God forbid, or the New York Times, and then try to figure out what is on the man's mind. There is a website, cubanews.ain.cu. I recommend people just go. And don't be afraid to actually ask the man himself what he's saying. He's written about three columns since that interview with Goldberg. He couldn't be clearer in terms of what his worldview is. I mean, one of the quotes I'll give you is, he says, the system that's failing is the capitalist system. Why would we adopt it? He says it's crisis-ridden, and the crises are coming at a faster pace. So why? It's not a system that would work for us. It doesn't work for the United States. So... you know, all this chortling that's going on in particularly the National Post, is just kind of silly. They're making up his point of view. He's always been an openly honest and self-critical kind of guy. And it does appear that Cuba is experimenting with various solutions to their own problems, most of which are caused by an American embargo on them, which is trying to starve them to death, basically, but they survived it. So Fidel is has always been a lively mind. He's not afraid of anything or anybody, and he's always been a pleasure, whether you agreed with him every time or not, because he's a deep thinker. He's a lawyer, a trained lawyer. He's really good at history, and he engages on a level that most political people cannot do. And he writes a good column, and he has said that, look, let's get back to his, he said, my main issue, which is the United States and the Security Council are trying to push a policy towards Iran, which could lead to war. And he said, wars, people don't seem to understand, can get out of hand, and they can become actually a form of suicide for humanity.
Well, he lived through the Cold War. He lived through the Cuban Missile Crisis. Yes. Obviously, he knows more than many people the dangers of warfare going out of control. And, yes. You know, he's 84 years old, but he's a very detailed thinker. He's very explicit mm-hmm. in his thought. And in terms of Iran, a lot of these Western news organizations immediately wanted to turn his quotes to say that, you know, he was having disagreements with the government.
Well, there's where a lot of mischief was done. Mr. Goldberg really played with that one, and I think it doesn't reflect well on him. It shows somebody who wants to make mischief, because he said Fidel had critical words about Ahmadinejad of Iran on the subject of anti-Semitism. Well, but that's the one place so far he hasn't produced a quote. And so you say, well, okay, where's the quote? And when I read Goldberg's blog about this, I was waiting to see where's the term, you know, where does he address that? He does not. So what's going to happen to that? I don't know. Fidel speaks rather highly of the Iranian government and the way they've dealt with things. I just read in a column written by Fidel on September 11, that's only a few days ago, where he said, there's a UN official for the International Atomic Energy Agency. His name is Amano. He is a Japanese national. He's the director general of the International Atomic Energy Agency. And here's what Fidel's term for him is. He serves the interests of the Yankees. And that's pretty sober. And then he said that man, Amano, made a weird statement about Iran, which was, as Fidel said, completely uncalled for and incorrect. Then he said, the Iranians treated Amano's statements with well-earned contempt. So he's in alignment with the Iranians. I don't know what his personal opinion and whether he ever expressed it about Ahmadinejad, but when Goldberg starts this stuff about Ahmadinejad and gets it over into the issue of anti-Semitism, he's really playing with, he's trying to make his maximum trouble, in my opinion. And we want to remember Jeffrey Goldberg is one of the great advocates of the war on Iraq in order to prevent Saddam Hussein from acquiring nuclear weapons or weapons of mass destruction and chemical weapons. And he claimed that they had them. Goldberg was one of the people who asserted that, yes, Saddam had those weapons.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
So he's with Blair in a criminal enterprise. He's an advocate. Now, Fidel chose to speak to him, because Fidel's an honest man, and he's going to treat Goldberg as one. Maybe Goldberg's honest, but we want to remember who he was. He advocated that war, and then he's had some other sort of cute games. He said, I went to look at the dolphins at the Havana Aquarium, and he said, while we were there, there was a woman from the Cuban Jewish organization, and he said Fidel kissed her in front of the cameras. He said, was he sending a message to Ahmadinejad? Well, I have a picture I've seen. I don't have it, but I can find it any time, of Ahmadinejad embracing a rabbi from New York who just happens to, you know, the two of them like each other. So Ahmadinejad doesn't need any instructions. But Jeffrey Goldberg, playing that game, wants you to think, oh, Ahmadinejad would be angry? No, of course not. The Jewish community of Tehran is much larger than the Jewish community of Cuba all put together.
It's really shocking how much he's been able to even get attention on the issue of trying to say there's been these massive developments or changes in Cuba's policy towards Iran. I mean, number one, Cuba's always had friendly policies towards the Jewish community in Cuba, which is represented through synagogues and so forth. I think there's been a fairly
Yes, and they've never had any issue with the recognition of Israel, and they've never had any issue with the Holocaust.
That's right. And then the other aspect of this was the policy on Iran. And as you've made it very clear, it could not be more obvious what the government in Cuba's position is on Iran, or at least Fidel. They've always been, you know, supporting its right to not have to be sanctioned, its right to develop.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's an anti-colonialist revolutionary who believes that the superpowers don't have a right to possess nuclear weapons because he, as a small state, knows that they use those weapons to intimidate other people. And so when he hears from Washington or France, Iran can't do something, he has a question for them. Why do you get to do it?
Yeah, well, you know, the other thing in terms of all this newspaper stuff is they're talking about the laying off of many government or state-funded workers in Cuba. And there's been a lot of effort to say that basically they're just becoming capitalist. They're, you know, they're changing their economy. And, I mean, I was in Cuba in 2007, and I saw some presentations that were put on by government agencies, and they talked about history in Cuba that involved a variety of economic changes and economic experiments, right? Right from the very outset of the revolution in 59 up until now. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the things they did in the late 70s or throughout the 80s was what they called a rectification program, where they said there's inefficiencies and problems in the government, we need to have the economy conform more closely to Cuba's specific needs, etc. They made changes there, and they talked about that. And so there's always been a consistent process of economic experiments, changes. There are competition-driven programs. There's subsidized programs. There's, you know, half state-owned, half foreign-owned businesses. So there's, of course, changes happening, but it just represents a continuation of things that have been going on, as far as I can tell, for decades.
Yeah, we're experiencing a kind of perfect storm of peculiar stories. Jeffrey Goldberg revealing some of the contents of a long conversation with Fidel is blended in with the announcement about the layoffs, which is is supposedly some great message because he said, "Oh, the system didn't work," but he didn't say the system didn't work. He said that they had to they have a socialist model, and they're staying with the model. But he says, by the way, one of the things about Fidel is that he does not want to address domestic issues because his brother is now the president. So he's staying out of the internal workings of the Cuban government. And so when he gives an interview talking about Iran and about the foreign policy, which is, he says that's what he's going to talk about, foreign policy, then this is tossed over into as a kind of a backdrop to the decision on the layoffs of the 5,000 when there's no necessary connection, and he hasn't said what he thinks that means. And, of course, his brother, who is the president, hasn't said anything either. Incidentally, I would tell everybody, remind everybody, China went from one model to another one, led by the Chinese Communist Party, either rightly or wrongly, but they went from one model to another. And one of the most noticeable things is they still haven't made the approved list of Western imperialism. They're still treated with hostility and plots and efforts to undermine them. So there's no winning. You can't win for losing in this situation. Anybody thinks that, oh, yeah, they're going to, you know, if they have a, if the Cubans adopt something resembling the Chinese, what we could call the Chinese model, it won't change relations. The U.S. would still be wanting to get rid of those guys. It's kind of like being the guy who organizes, your listeners will be appreciating this, the guy who organizes the union is very often the management says, okay, you can have the union, but he can't work here anymore. They don't want the guy who did that.
Right.
And that's the situation. With China, they say, well, yeah, okay, now you have private industry and you have foreign investment, et cetera. But you guys, you have to go because you're the one who caused all of our problems.
Yeah, well, it is an interesting time, even though we're getting some factually questionable coverage. Wow, I mean, I learned something today. I guess we all do whenever we talk about this with you. So, wow, thanks.
Yeah.
I know.
Well,
that.
By the way, let me just stress again, we're now freer than we've ever been to know the truth, and people should not be afraid. Just go cubanews.ain.cu and make up your own mind. But, I mean, if you're going to wait around for some halfwit who writes a column for the Star to tell you what's going on in Cuba, you're going to be in big trouble. Go and get it from the horse's mouth. By the way, that's an that's an old nickname for Fidel.
The horse?
They used to call him the horse.
Okay.
I think because he was pulling the whole thing by himself, but that was kind of he had that nickname.
Well, there you go. I mean, thanks to the wonders of the internet, now you can check it all out yourself. So
yes, absolutely. Get the straight goods. Don't waste. Don't go to the Star Globe. They don't know the famous. After all, they got bosses who say, make sure you spin the story this way.
Okay. Well, I guess that's it for this week.
Well, best regards to you and to Peter. We're all thinking about him. He's one of the great labor leaders in Canada.
Absolutely.
And we love the guy. We know he's fighting for his health and. He's been out. I've known that guy from so many years, and he's the same man now that he was when I met him. And that's, in my view, saying an awful lot about a guy. So thanks again.
And I think our listeners reflect your sentiments, too. So thanks very much, Phil.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.